Does everybody know what I'm asking? Do we have a group?
Yes.
Articulate.
Okay. What? Does everyone agree that the members who elect the local boards can remove anybody from the local board that they elected, and that in doing so, they remove them from all offices, other offices of the foundation that they may hold?
Does everybody agree on that?
As Please long as there's standards for removal. As long as there's standards for removal.
Looks unanimous.
Okay, does everybody, those who agree with that, please raise your hand. Okay, everybody agrees.
Great.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's right. That's okay. Okay, now, in this same section that we're in here, Article 3, Section 2, Part A, in the proposals C, D, I think especially C and D, I'm not sure about E, I'm not reading fast enough. There are other issues here too, it seems.
And B. Yeah. You know, it's very difficult when the grid got put together to put equivalent sections next to each other, because these bylaws were written by different minds in different order. I noticed that the KPFK committee model has a lot of things under rights that are covered elsewhere in other provisions, so I'm not quite sure how we're going to compare them, because they're covered in other proposals in a different place, and
I'm not sure either what to do.
We'll have to identify them.
Can I propose? Can I propose an issue that the election scheme, that the exercise of the right to elect a local board member, that the election scheme include proportional voting with the option for the local board to use single transferable voting? Would that be an appropriate issue?
I think that's a later point, isn't it?
Okay.
It's at a different part of the proposals. When they're laid out on the grid in a certain order, in the order of the KPFT model, we get there eventually. We're not there yet.
I'm proposing an issue, that's all.
We're not there yet.
That's where we're on.
Well, that's what we're trying to sort now. We're still on page 6 of the small grid. I don't know where the equivalent is on the large grid. We're still on Article 3, Section 2.A, the first point on the rights. What I actually would suggest, and I don't know if this makes sense or not, again, there are other issues raised under Model C and Model D especially. What I want to suggest is that we skip those for the moment.
And come back.
Right. Go on to amendment of bylaws, you know, the other things in this section, in this article.
Yeah.
Because I think they're more equivalent. Mm-hmm. That somebody tonight look at C and D and try and figure out where those items will come up, you know, in the rest of the bylaws section.
Right.
So we don't lose them.
Right.
Right. But let's skip them right now.
But Carol, Jabari, do that. No, I think can Carol do that?
Jabari, well, I don't know. Carol, can you do that?
She's chair of the committee.
No.
Jabari, no. Okay. She's
no.
Tired. Okay, Jabari.
As a matter of thinking about rights, I think it would help if, because under this KPFK committee thing, it's a litany of things, most of which I don't think are rights. Because to me, a right is something that the member themselves can do.
That's what I'm saying, that we not put that in this
section. No, but I'm just, for clarification for people to try to think about. In other words, I'm a member of this foundation. What should I be able, myself alone, what should I be able to do? Okay, I should be able to vote for members on the LAB. I should be able to recall people on the LAB.
Right.
So I'm just saying, if you think about the process from that point of view, many of these things I think just go away because a given member won't be able to activate these particular elements.
Right. Jabari, let me just repeat. What I was suggesting is that for now they go away, right, that we skip over them, that somebody look at them outside of the, you know, after the meeting tonight and try and figure out, are any of them integratable into some other part of the of this document.
I understood that. I was just trying to give my basis of philosophically determined.
Right. Okay, so great. So let's move on then. Okay, let's move on to B, which is on page 7, Amendments of Bylaws. Right? Is that where we're at? And I guess PFW didn't speak to that in their bylaws proposal. Carol, can you summarize these parts?
All right. KPFK committee proposal is that any amendment of the foundation bylaws shall require the vote of approval of the members in order to become effective. That's any amendment to the foundation bylaws whatsoever. The KPFT committee says any amendment of the bylaws that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members shall require the vote of approval of the members in order to become effective. That's more limited. The bylaws could be changed to change, for instance, the number of board meetings per year without going to the board, to the members for approval, because that would probably not be deemed to materially adversely affect the rights of the members to change that bylaw provision, just as an example. In the Fertig model, any proposed bylaws amendment that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members must be approved by majority vote of quorum of the members or class of members as if applicable, and the members... what does adversely affect the rights of the members? For instance, if I have the right as a member to elect 6 members to my local board and you want to change the bylaws to say I get to elect 5, that's limited my voting rights. If you want to say that I get to elect my constituency as a staff member is to have 6 members on the local board and the listeners get 12, and you want to change the percentages so that my degree or percentage of representation isn't as strong, it's going to materially adversely affect someone. Those are the kinds of things that materially adversely affect members. If you want to amend the bylaws to take away one of my other rights. All right. So now we're back to Fertig, which says any proposed amendment that materially adversely affects the rights of members must be approved by majority vote of a quorum of the members or class of members. And the proposal B says that any amendment of the bylaws that materially adversely affects the rights of the members or any class of members shall require the vote in order to become effective, and any amendment of the foundation bylaws that changes the number of local board members or foundation directors or the manner of election of local board members and directors shall require the vote of the members or affected class of members in order to become effective.
Question, Carol?
Yeah.
Does this mean members from all 5 listening areas? And so
yes.
How you weigh that? Suppose that New York has a larger number of members than, say, Washington. Is it the total membership?
It's the class of members. So if the listener sponsors are a class of members,
No, I understand. I'm saying that if there's a material or something that adversely affects the membership, do you have to have voting by all 5 listening areas?
Yeah.
And do you add up the numbers and just get the majority vote from the total 5?
Yeah, it would be.
Is that right?
Yes, it would be. If it was affecting the whole class of members,
right,
you'd have to have a vote of the whole class, which would be nationwide.
Not nationwide. Would it be?
All of the listener sponsor members, though they vote by station area, they're a class of members.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, Rob was next, and then I'll call you. Okay.
I just wanted to point out that the WPFW bylaws in Article 11 deal with the amendment of bylaws. That's what they are.
So we'll get there. Okay.
Oh, well, so we should look at it now.
Sorry
about that.
Leslie, are we still talking about rights of members?
Yes.
Yes. This is under a right, that the members have a right to vote directly on the amendment to bylaws.
Okay,
that's being proposed.
I think all of this stuff, in fact, everything from this point to the end of the section really shouldn't come under the rights of members. It should go under what you're talking about is an administrative process to alter the document. That's what you're talking about. And that's not really a right. That's an administrative privilege. So from a process point of view, that needs to be removed out of a section where you're just delineating those simple rights of a member. Because that's what every individual themselves can do. That's what I'm saying. A member, a right is something that each person can do irrespective of anybody else.
Well, that's the right to vote on the right to vote on amendments to bylaws is similar to the right to vote on election of directors or local
But if you
want to
say
members,
that,
right
just state that and not go through the process of what that is.
Yeah. Okay.
Because we
are. We all agree that members.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Should that go in an amendment of bylaws?
It may go belong better in the amendment of bylaws section.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Because
okay, but the question is, okay, so we might move it to another section, but do we agree with the content of it? And then we can figure out where it goes. There might be other things.
I say let's move it to where, and when we get to it, let's deal with it.
So was that Article 11?
Like we did with the other ones.
Question, and lesson.
On this question about whether or not we're going
to on this question.
Since we've had
a
discussion
on this,
I just want to mention that PAC is similar to KPFK's, which says any amendment must be ratified, not one that necessarily adversely, because the determination of what adversely affects them can be instrumental. Okay.
Where is yours?
So, it's not on the grid.
No, I know, but where in what?
Yes, it is on the grid, and I can tell you where it is.
Okay.
On column D for the KPFK Bylaws Committee, it says as specified in Article 13.
What page?
I'm on page 7 of the little grid.
Right.
And there's a reference in column D in section B, Amendment of Bylaws, to Article 13. The problem is that we didn't lay it out the same way, so that you will find our Article 13 on the little grid on page 49 in the discussion of Article 17.
All right.
So if you just put a note there and say see page 49 or refer to Article 17,
okay.
Section A, you'll have the reference.
Okay. Question?
Yes.
I assume this process would work if the board of directors would vote to change the bylaws, then it would have to be ratified or unratified by the membership, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, can the membership itself, say in Washington, the membership in Washington, initiate a bylaw change and take it to the national board?
Yeah.
But we're going to come to that later.
Wait a minute.
We're going to have this, right? Is it Section 11 where it says? I mean, Article 11?
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that we got two rights already. You got a right to vote for lab members.
I'm just asking where it should come up again.
In our
11, I think.
11, in our proposal. Right.
Okay, so when we get to 11, we'll come back to this whole question about the process for amending bylaws.
Right.
Okay? I think we all agree.
No, my only other question is, do you want to delineate specifically in this section under members' rights, do you want to say members shall have the right to vote on alteration or amendments of the bylaws?
I think that's a legal question that our lawyer could tell us in what order to put these things to make sure that they're, you know, we're covering everything.
Okay, but pending that, let's just put the whole thing under that section.
Under 11.
Right.
Okay, I think we agreed to that.
Okay,
great.
Just want a clarification.
Yeah, sure.
I think Brother Jabari is trying to make a point of perhaps, in terms of members' rights, perhaps something comparable to the Bill of Rights, where you just list rights first.
Yeah.
Then you go into the process of how do you enforce the rights, or what's the process for it. And I think that's the point he keeps making, and I think it keeps getting missed. But it's just list them first and then the process. I think that's the point.
That's right.
Okay.
We got
great.
It. Thank you.
Okay, thank you then.
Thank you, sister.
Okay, so can we move on then?
There's one other right that's listed in two proposals that are somewhat equivalent, approval of acquisition or disposition of major assets. The members of the foundation shall have the right to approve or reject acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, for example, real property and radio broadcast licenses. That's in KPFA. Means you can't do it without a vote of approval of the members. In the KPFT proposal, it's slightly different. A petition signed by a number not less than 2.5% of voters in the last national election. I'm assuming that's the last national board election. I'm not sure. shall...
I think it's the last presidential
election. Last presidential election? No, I don't think so. No, 2.5% of the number of voters who voted for the last time for directors shall initiate a national referendum to reject the acquisition or disposition of assets, including intellectual property rights, whose determined value is $500,000 or greater.
Okay, I thought that we couldn't, under any circumstance, talk about selling real property.
Well,
yeah,
you can. You
we can.
Sure.
There,
No. In the interim board, the settlement agreement that the interim board is working under says that we can't sell the licenses
or lease.
What? But we're working on new bylaws, right? That the settlement agreement will disappear from the face of the earth. Finally,
so now the discussion is we're talking about whether we're going to grant the board the right to sell licenses.
No, the board has the right to sell licenses unless we limit it. That's the board can sell licenses unless we limit it. And what we're doing is placing some limits.
Okay, so they had that right before, and then the settlement agreement stopped it, and now we're
the settlement agreement stopped it for the period of the interim board. Now we could. I believe there was a proposal, I don't remember where I saw this, maybe I'm making it up, that there was a proposal floating around at some point that the bylaws should have a no sale provision in it. That the board would not have the right to sell. Right. What this is saying is that assuming that there is a right to sell a license, that the members would have that right to approve or reject such a possibility.
Authority.
That's not a right.
Reads here, unless it's quantified, it is really you cannot execute it properly. You talk about major asset. We're not defining what that means. It would be a opening of Pandora's box. So this would have to define what value, what's the limit.
That's true. There probably should be a monetary equivalent value.
Exactly. Well, one at a time, folks. Okay, Marion and then David.
Well, the model that we've adopted so far, where the membership elects delegates to the
folks,
local board,
please.
The local board selects and elects members of the national board, is what I call a representative democracy process. If that's what we adopted, then it seems to me that to go back now to say that the membership would have a right to get involved with major assets seems to me goes against the representative democracy model, doesn't it?
Well, I think that I understand what you're saying, and that there's certainly a logic to that. I think what Ray is saying, that without quantifying this, what is a major asset, then we don't know. You know, does something rise above sort of the normal flow of the business of the foundation and therefore is deserving of attention by the members directly? I think we would all assume in the normal flow of things, right, the office needs to buy a new computer, but the members don't need to vote on that, right? But on some other item, like what is a major asset? Is buying a new building? Right, buying a new building for one of our stations, selling a license, should that rise above the concerns of the day-to-day operations and therefore need the approval or rejection, whatever, by the membership. But Ray is suggesting that it's hard to take an action on this now because it's not spelled out enough, at least in the KPFA model. In the KPFT, there is this issue of $500,000 or greater.
I have clarification.
Yeah, clarification.
In the PAC bylaws, it says the members of the foundation shall have the right to approve or reject the acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, which include but are not limited to real property, radio licenses, transmitters, and archives. At least a 90-day notice of any impending vote shall be given on air, and a 75% majority shall be required.
Majority from where?
That does spell it out more, but I know, for instance, I would have a problem with that. If the tower is crumbling at one of our stations, to have to slow down the process of buying a new one because you have to go to an election process or a voting mechanism that involves the whole membership. I mean, that wouldn't work for me. That's a problem.
Point of clarification, where are we? I just want to know, where are we?
We're on under D, on page 7 at the bottom.
Seven, a small one.
And right now we're looking at D, approval of acquisition or disposition of major assets. And there are two versions of that, right? But let me suggest that maybe what we need to do to clear the table a little bit here, clear the air, is to see by a quick show of hands whether or not people feel that members should be directly involved in approving or rejecting acquisitions or the disposition of major foundation assets. Because if we do, then we need the language that speaks to that. If we don't feel that that's an appropriate activity for the members, then we can move on to the next.
Are we putting this under a right?
Yes, this is put under, it is offered to us as a right of the members. That is, the members would have the right to participate in that decision. That's how it's being offered. You could reject it, but that's
curious here. If I could propose an alternative, then if one is to support either, for example, a vote of the members relative to a major asset liquidation, or a vote of the local boards, for example. On the other hand, I'm just saying that as a dichotomy, because to say you're for or against. One will suggest there must be an alternative, and I'm just merely posing that.
Okay, if that was what people wanted, it wouldn't go in the section. It would go in the section of the rights of the local boards.
Right.
Right? We would reject it from this section and bring it up again. Sorry, bring it up again under that section.
I would only vote to not have members do it if we could make sure that the local boards could.
Okay, all I'm saying is I can't guarantee... Right. That will happen. I can't look ahead and see how we're all going to vote on that. We have to vote on this now. You can vote on this issue now, understanding that there's another place to bring it in, and that would be under the rights and the authority, the power, whatever word you want to use, of the local boards. Okay? I think, can we get a straw poll here of folks? Right? And we just want to see how divided we are.
I think you should, again, I don't think this comes under membership rights. That goes into governance power.
Then vote against it.
Okay, what is the actual thing we're going to vote on?
We're going to vote whether the members will have the rights to approve or reject acquisition or disposition of major assets. Do we like that idea or not?
Right. And then if we like it, I think we understand
we
that
could
we
put it in a different
refinement.
Part of the bylaws if you want, but this is a right that's spelled out in the corporation's code in the list of rights you can give to members, and I want to see if we want to give it to the members.
Okay, let me just say that if we agree, if you agree, if each person voting agrees that the members should have this right, then you would vote yes, and it would stay in this section, even if it needs fine-tuning or... you know, more thorough definitions, whatever. If you disagree, if you think that it shouldn't be a right of a member, but it should be the right of a local board, then it should go in, it will come up in that, you'll raise it in that section. You vote against it now. If you disagree and think it's only the right of the national board, then you vote against it and raise it there. If you disagree and think it's only the right of the executive director, then you vote against it now. Right. If you can say nobody has a right,
at that point.
Think nobody has the right to do it, then you vote against it. Okay? Okay? We're clear.
And I don't want to be too much a stickler for philosophy. I think the correct wording is not right, but power and authority.
Okay.
A right is something that is inherent just because you exist. Power and authority is granted, you vested in the legal delegation of what your documents say you have authority to do.
Okay, might I suggest that we not get into that now, that we would ask the lawyer to help clarify those kinds of things and put them in the right. But we're looking for the...
I got you. I vote no.
Okay. Okay, so all those who support the right or authority or power, whatever, of the members to vote on the acquisition... To approve or reject the acquisition or disposition of major foundation assets, vote yes. All those in favor of that, put your hand up. One, two. Okay. and all those who don't support that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
See, that's the thing. Well, I think you're presuming a lot. No. That takes a lot of stuff because you don't want anybody to sell stations. So you're right. Just saying no, period.
That's right. There are. I tried to be crystal clear,
right,
that the no vote on this wording, on this part, encompasses a lot of other possibilities that people
right.
might have.
Well,
people I'm just saying that,
right.
that it, this is not a total rejection of some accountability on this issue, right? It could be that you voted no because you think nobody should have the right to sell a station.
Could I make a point of clarification?
Yes, yes.
If I'd like to make a point of clarification. Our bylaws cannot have a no-sale provision. It's against public policy.
Oh, okay.
It's against public policy. If we own an asset, we have the right to sell it
power
under
the
law.
The
and so if you don't want stations sold, you have to put some limits on it. And the limits would be basically under the law, the national board can vote to sell. So if you don't want the national board to be able to vote to sell, you need to say, well, they have to get approval from somebody else.
Yes.
Whether it's
folks, I need to just interrupt for 1 second. Everybody think about this complicated issue for 1 second. We are being broadcast live on at least 2 stations, and we told people that this meeting tonight would wrap up 15 minutes ago. So people in those stations need to know how long we're going. I would like us to keep going. We might understand that the stations have to break away from this, right, because they thought we were going to end earlier.
They should have known better.
If you can hang in there with us with us, that would be greatly appreciated. But we understand programming realities, and you may need to fade out, or we may need to fade out. So if we could just keep going.
Time on it because we'll have to preempt shows.
Yeah. Okay. The problem is I don't know. We seem to be on a roll here, and I don't want to break it. So hang with us as long as you can. If you need to fade away, we understand.
Fearless leader.
Yes. Okay. David was next.
If I might. And I know that there is concern that we're dealing with certain sections in a certain order under certain names and so forth. However, insofar as we have just voted to not have any major sale be required to be submitted to listeners, I think we should resolve this issue so people are not left wondering what constraints we would place upon it. I think we should go ahead, even though it's under a different section, to address that issue so that people aren't walking away from here tonight going, well, I wonder what they're going to do about major assets.
No, I'm sorry. No. All
no,
I said
we have not voted on that.
Later. David, I understand, but you know there have been a lot of big questions about the future of this organization that haven't been resolved for months. If people
just
could bear with us, we'll get to tomorrow. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just hang in there with us, folks. We're not ignoring this issue. We're going to come back to it.
Okay.
So if that's okay, we can stick to the order. Ray, did you want to say something?
I have a rather unusual request. I'm surprised by the result of the vote. Would anybody care to comment on the rationale for voting against that?
For voting against what?
Against
the listener?
Voting against the listener?
I'll offer my comment. As I said before, I think this is not clarified enough. What is a major asset? If a tower is included, you know, this is a serious problem. I do think that there need to be some checks and balances here. I am more interested in seeing this power or right or authority in the hands of the local boards, in combination, actually, between the local board and the national board, which are elected bodies. Those boards could choose to take a poll of their members. You know, there are other ways to get input from people, but I don't think this process is workable to put it in the hands of the membership. So that's why I voted this way.
I understand,
folks. Thank you. Okay, so can we keep moving? Folks,
can we keep moving?
Okay.
Is it possible to separate acquisition and sales? Is it possible to separate acquisition and sales?
Yeah.
Because it
yeah.
seems that...
If someone could come up with yes. language and we can come revisit that later,
exactly.
but let's not do
yes.
it right
I think
now.
That that's the contention. That,
yes, for me.
That's yeah. it. It's a part of point yes. process. Just can we keep going to try to find things that we agree on?
That's
because we get stuck
to.
Down in things mm-hmm. that we don't agree
yeah.
on.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Can we go to the next page? Eight.
Leslie.
Yeah,
can we agree on maybe telling people that there's a reception starting downstairs?
Oh, yeah, I did announce
there
that
is
earlier.
Food down there, and it looks like we might be pulling an all-nighter. So
no.
I have no idea
much
how much longer we're going to go, but we might want to mention that if
okay.
people want to go downstairs.
Thank you. Okay, we did mention that earlier, but we'll mention it again. There is food downstairs and a cash bar. If anybody wants to bring us drinks, that would be great.
Bring them on.
But all kidding aside, let's get through at least the end of this article. Turn to page
article
8, three. Article 3, you know, and then see where we are if we want to continue or take a, you know, or stop after this article. But let's see.
This is easy.
Yeah, maybe this other stuff is pretty easy.
It's pretty easy.
Okay, so the next, on page 8, the top of page 8, again, I'm sorry, no, I'm not sure what it is on the big grid. There's one item D called attend board and committee meetings. That is that the members shall have the right. This would be in the bylaws that the members would have the right, shall have the right to attend all board and committee meetings except those closed for hearing personnel matters and to speak during the period to be set aside for member comments.
That's a no-brainer. Thank goodness.
Is there...
You saying no, Jabari?
About that?
Yes.
Yes. Go on.
Yeah. All right. It's addressed elsewhere in other provisions, but I think we have to be able to close meetings to talk about legal matters from time to time. It's not other than personnel matters. I think there's legal matters that we do have to be able to close meetings for.
I think it's
for.
Legal and financial.
Not no. financial. I
just
don't think
just personnel
we
and legal.
Personnel and legal.
Right. So your problem with this is the particular wording of it. It's not the concept of meetings being open. Carol?
Yeah, I think that we... I'll tell you my thought about it. The CPB, as long as we take their money, requires us to hold all of our meetings openly. We can't go into executive session
right.
to just because we are embarrassed by what we're going to talk about. We can only hold a closed meeting if we're talking about a specific personnel matter, a legal matter, and the CPB gives us an out for proprietary matters, whatever that means, that may have something to do with competition with other entities, I suppose. That's it.
So let me just say that because we are obliged to do that anyway, obligated to do that anyway, the question is whether or not this has to be in the bylaws.
Well, we might, the CPB might change their rules,
right,
or
right,
we
right.
might no longer take CPB
right.
money,
but
so do we want
Carol,
to
also,
to
did you say this is spoken to in another article?
Yeah, but that's...
Okay.
Yes, on page...
Pete.
I'm sorry. Would this prevent the board from holding retreats?
No.
Is that addressed anywhere else?
No.
No.
That I have to say is the difference between a retreat and a meeting is a meeting you conduct business.
Right.
A retreat you don't.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification.
Yeah. We do whatever
fearless leader.
It is we do at those retreats.
Fearless leader.
Okay, yes.
Dave Pritiker, yes. On page 22 of the grid, under the C proposal on the section D, basically, it provides for closed sessions to consider matters relating to individual employees, proprietary information, litigation, and other matters requiring confidential advice of counsel, commercial or financial, and so forth. It lays out some things which I believe are reasonably standard relative to executive session. But then it also goes on to say, if any such meeting is closed pursuant to the provisions of this paragraph, the organization involved, and that means either the local board or the national board or committees thereof, shall thereafter, within a reasonable period of time, make available to the public by airing and posting on the Internet a written statement containing an explanation of the reasons for closing the meeting. And I would add, it should also say, also summarizing what was decided.
Okay. So can we come back to this when we get to page 22?
Okay. Brown Act
can
thing.
We skip it?
Right.
And come back to 22. Okay. Then there's also D... Point D put forth by the KBFT model. Listeners, sponsors, and staff members for each station shall have the right to serve and vote on committees of the station. In other words, that even if you're not elected as a delegate to the local board, that you would have a right to serve on a committee of that local board. Is there any objection to that?
Well, actually, there is.
Leslie?
There is. Okay, yes.
It's confusing to me to say you have a right to do it, and then somebody say you can't come on the committee because we don't need you on the committee.
Exactly.
So I don't understand that.
If I might suggest, it may serve and vote, but the committees, I mean, we have to be a manner of
designating. So it's not a right then?
Well, it's not a right. It's not an innate right because then I got a right. I'm on this committee. I can't just walk into
so
a committee.
So you said may serve?
May.
Okay, I think it clarifies
may.
Yeah, may. Yeah.
Okay, so the language that people are interested in is listeners, sponsors, and staff members for each station may have the right to
May serve.
No,
I'm
may
sorry,
serve.
May serve. May, they may not have the right.
You know,
may serve.
It's either have me or don't.
And vote. Well, voting is not.
May serve.
Can we just see about the core value here, right? The core issue here. That is, do we agree that the committees of our local board should be open to the participation of non-elected
yes.
people?
Yes.
Yes.
That's how we get our work done.
Okay. Yes. Then we'll find the right language and the right place for it.
Thank you.
Okay. Do we have to vote? I saw a lot of nodding heads. Maybe people are falling asleep. I don't know.
The mechanism by which that happens has to be worked out.
Yeah.
Yes, the mechanism to be worked out and the placement in the bylaws to be worked out.
All right.
Okay, quorum.
Okay. This tells us whether we've held a valid election, really. And for purpose, this is not a right. We've gone beyond rights, and this is another thing under. We're not on rights. That was section 3. We're now on section 4. For purposes of any election or written ballot, a quorum of the listener sponsors shall be 10% of those entitled to vote, and a quorum of the staff members shall be 1/3 of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. And in the KPFK proposal, it says a quorum of the members shall be 10% of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. That's in the KPFK committee. I believe the Fertig proposal in another section higher up had it at 15%. Is that right, Dave?
He's out of the room.
All right.
I'm curious as to why KPFA has this difference between staff and not.
Because the numbers involved are significantly different. When you have, we have at KPFA somewhere around 25,000 eligible voters who are members, and our staff we have somewhere around 100 or 125. So it's reasonable to expect 1/3 of the staff to show up and vote, but it's not necessarily reasonable to expect 1/3 of the listener sponsors to show up and vote in order to have a valid election.
Yeah.
How was 10% arrived at? See, I mean, we want to raise the bar a little bit higher. Otherwise, if we're talking about full democracy, you ought to try to encourage it as much as you can.
We decided that at KPFA based on consultation with other nonprofits who told us 2 to 3% was high.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
So we set what we thought was a high barrier.
What result did you get?
10%.
I'm confused.
Yeah.
What do we, a quorum for what?
To vote.
For a
vote to be valid. In other words, if 9% of the eligible voters voted, the vote wouldn't count.
Shouldn't this go under elections?
No.
No, there may be other business.
I mean, I don't understand what section this is coming under because it's not under member rights, so I don't know.
No, it's under the definition of members. We're going through all the things that have to do with members.
Because we have a section in on the quorums of the elections, and I don't know.
What's a quorum of the members? They don't show up in person. We've got 25,000 of them. So we have to say, what's a quorum? To conduct a valid ballot.
I'm sorry, let me just interrupt again for 1 second for technical reasons. I've just been asked to let the listeners at, in Los Angeles, in Southern California, pardon me, at KPFK, know that they will continue broadcasting until we're finished tonight. So hang in there with us. And we want to thank the management for that. And again, also we want to thank WBAI for continuing to hang in there with us. Okay, so now during that brief intermission, you've all figured
it'll
out.
Be on
I'm still, I'm, okay, okay, under the KPFK committee, it says a quorum of the members shall be 10% of those entitled to vote as of the applicable date of record. Now, what are they voting for? Is this like a LAB meeting and they're voting on a motion?
No, they're voting for the members of the LAB. For the election of the LAB to be valid, you have to have a quorum.
In other words, let me try this. My understanding of the way elections work in this country, right, that, you know, we have elections coming up in November. God help us. Anyway, that if two people vote, or let's say three people vote, and two people can elect somebody, right? There's no minimum requirement, minimum number of people required for an election to be valid. What this is saying
is that
there needs to be at least a certain threshold met for that to have legitimacy. And the suggestion is 10% of the listener sponsors and was a third of the staff votes.
Okay, because
that's not true. What is it?
No, because in our discussions, in our subcommittee, one of the things that we were trying to grapple with was how do you elect members to an LAB when you have less members running than seats available? And we figured that you have to have, we thought it would be good to have some threshold, minimum threshold, so that even if you have 20 people running, you have a 30-member board, that those 20 people have to reach a threshold, and if they don't reach the threshold, even though there's empty seats, they don't get elected. Now, I don't know if that's the same philosophy of a quorum, and it sounds like it's different in that all you're saying that a certain number of people have to vote,
right,
and not that certain people have to get a certain number of the votes. What I'm more concerned with is I think you can subsume both of those concepts by looking at the point of view of having a minimum vote requirement, because I think the bottom line is the concept is you want a certain number of people to validate the vote. You want to have a certain number of people involved in the process to validate the point. Okay, right. Okay. So the issue isn't really how many people come out to vote. That's not just the issue. I think, and from our discussion, the issue is, well, do people get an automatic seat just because there are not enough people, then there are less people running for the seats?
That's not what we're talking about now.
That's another. That's
I understand that. So, but my point, this concept that we're talking about comes under our election process. What are the criteria for having a quote valid election? And that would come under this concept that you're talking about came under our election process.
Are you just saying this is in the wrong place?
Yes.
We'll address that later.
Let's talk about the concept in this issue, in this quorum question. We can, you know, the items, the placement in the bylaws, that can be moved around later, right? Let's just see if we have agreement with the concept.
Leslie.
Right. Marion was next.
In terms of the present bylaws, I can't recall, but is there a quorum provision in the present bylaws? What is it?
No, because we don't have members holding elections.
Oh.
There's a one-third of this board has to show up to meet a quorum.
Yeah. Right. No, I thought that in terms of in the present situation, that the membership technically and theoretically was supposed to elect the members of the local advisory board. But is that
No. Presently, there are no members. Right.
Okay.
I mean, there are members in that you pay your money and you get a membership card, but members with the legal right to vote, it doesn't exist. That's why.
Which means that with 25,000 members, 2,500 show up in person, right, Karen?
Or return their ballot.
They have the right their
ballot. Well,
mailing.
Internet, or however you do it.
Right.
Yeah. But it had to be a minimum of 10% who vote.
Right. So the proposal is, again, wherever it fits in here. And again, there are two versions of the proposal. There's the from KPFA, that it be 10% of the listed sponsors and one-third of the staff. From KPFK, it's just 10% of everybody entitled to vote, whether they're listener sponsors or staff. Now, I don't know if the constituency model speaks to this issue about percentage or quorum. And the PAC?
The PAC says that for most votings of elections and referendums, all you need is a majority vote. However, when it deals with amendments to the foundation, recalling station board members, or overriding the station board regarding the general manager's contract, in the above three exceptions require a two-thirds majority.
No, that's not what we're talking about. You're talking about what carries a vote. We're talking about a minimum number of voters needed. The number of voters needed. So that's Bob.
Yeah, the constituency.
Bob.
The constituency model provides that that the total ballots cast in a subcategory shall be at least 50 for an election to be official. That's just for, you know, the all the different categories by race and gender and so forth. It doesn't address it doesn't address the larger thing that you're discussing.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that clarification. So, George.
Yes.
George.
Why are we raising the bar so high?
10%, you mean?
Yes.
I mean, what do you think it should be?
Why not have it 1%?
David wants to explain that.
Please show me the respect I've shown you and let me finish.
I'm sorry, I didn't know you weren't done. Sorry.
The import of this will be, if that threshold is not reached, the election will be invalid. Right. You have to call another election, try and whip up the crowd, but. I know, you know, with nonprofits, historically, you've had very low turnouts, unfortunately.
Okay.
I wish that's not the case.
Okay.
David was next.
We've been doing really great all day. If people could, again, let me call on you. It seems to work.
And George's concerns are very valid and important, and that's why I think when Carol proposed the 10%, and I know the C version said 15%, but it was just a point of discussion. But I believe that Carol will report that KPFA came in above 10% in turnout. And that, second of all, there's a provision I know in C, and I'm not sure if it's in any of the other ones, whereby, and this is based largely on the advice of Lydia Brazon, who's conducted and worked on elections around the world, that what we do it that whereby if after 30 days of voting, this is in Section 5 under Article 10, however, it's not in the grid for some reason. Section 5, Article 10, that if after 30 days of voting the minimum level of participation is not achieved, the election period is extended in one-week increments until that level of, for example, 10%, whatever it is, has been achieved, so that you do not have to go back and redo the election.
Carol, can you and Willie Radcliffe tell us what percentage you got in each election?
Yes, I can. In the first election that we held 2 years ago, we got roughly 20% return. In the election we held last fall, roughly 17% return. This is in the midst of the biggest fight in the history of Pacifica for the life of our station. I would suggest to everyone that possibly 5 or 6 years from now that level of participation might drop. Mm-hmm. It might go up if we use our air better. We didn't get a lot of air time.
Okay, I have another question, quick question. What is the number of subscribers at KPFT? 10,000. So 10%, you're asking for 1,000 people to vote, right?
Right.
Does that seem unreasonable and unreachable?
No. Okay.
Leslie?
Okay, yes. Yes, Eric.
Well, I don't think we can compare Pacifica Foundation with other nonprofits in the sense that we are promoting democratic processes and democratic participation, and it seems, quite frankly, I mean, I vote for 10%. I think it'll be higher, quite frankly, but 10% is reasonable in the sense that we are trying to promote listener participation and members' participation in a very important process. So I think we ought to go higher, really, but I'll vote for 10.
Okay, I think there's agreement, actually, mm-hmm. on the concept mm-hmm. that a threshold should be set. 10%, there's been some discussion about 10%. What I would suggest, again, one of the things that we're going to do, if we agree on this now, you know, this has to go back out to the listening areas, out to the labs. The labs, you know, have to get some feeling for, you know, they have to give us some feedback. Is this 10% number right? Should it be 5? Should it be 15? Should it be 8? Should it be 11? You know, and, you know, okay, so, and then there's the other thing. Well, first, let's, everybody seems to agree that we have some threshold. There are two proposals here, though, before us. One is 10% for the listener sponsors and a third for the staff. The other proposal is 10% for all the voters.
They didn't have staff elections.
Oh, good point.
Right.
Thank you for reminding me.
Right.
So it's really then the 10% and one-third, right?
Right.
Okay, everybody okay?
Right.
10% of listener sponsors and one-third of staff voters. Okay, all those who support that, raise your hand, please. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
There isn't one.
There's none articulate. Ten.
If you think it's good.
Okay, 10. Okay, so that's a yes. Okay, so we got two more things here.
Okay.
Record date. The first proposal on this is from the KBFA model, the record date for purposes of determining the members entitled to notice.
What page are you on?
Same page, right after the quorum.
Oh. Page 8,
section 5, record date. Oh, okay. The record date, that is the date that you start, you know, that you start from, for the purposes of determining the members entitled to vote, voting rights, written ballot rights, or any other right with respect to any other lawful membership action shall be 45 days before the first written ballot or notice is mailed. Right? In other words, somebody has to be a member 45 days. Is that what that means?
Yes, and California law says it can't be less than, I believe, 40 or greater than 90 days. Now I have to tell you, I'm going to retract that and say I can't remember what the range is, but 45 days is in the middle, closer to the election rather than further out.
Okay, and then the verdict model,
It's the same.
They're all the same. Okay, but for some reason it was duplicated in this grid, so.
I don't know why, but.
Okay,
anyway.
So somebody made a very terrible mistake and wrote it twice. Okay. Is there any opposition to that? 45 days? And no opposition, so that's yes. Yeah, oh, we're just zipping right along here, folks.
Right.
Okay, proxies. Again, there's one set of one proposal here. All actions taken by members shall be taken by the members personally. The powers of members may not be exercised by alternates, by proxy, or the like. Any opposition to that? No proxies, in other words. Any opposition to that? No.
No.
So we agree. Yes. Yes. Okay, we've basically gotten through 8 pages of 52 pages. We are just zipping at lightning speed through this. It's now 10 after 10. I just want to ask the pleasure of the board here. Do you want to go through another article? Article 4?
Well, Madam Chair, I would like to adjourn and go get something to eat.
Okay, can we, is that okay that we do this? I think that we're getting a feel for how we're moving through this, so hopefully it will be even faster tomorrow. If that's all right with people, I think we should adjourn. I do want to remind people that on the first floor is a reception. Please come. We are starting at 9 a.m. tomorrow. I'm especially saying this to the board members. Tomorrow we have 4 stations picking us up at 9 a.m. tomorrow. And above and beyond that, we have,
Where are we going?
No, picking us up, a bunch of wise guys up here. But even beyond that, we have, as we all know, a tremendous amount of work. So I ask people, if you're going to the party and drinking late into the night, please remember you have to be here at 9. Again, I want to very much thank WBAI and KPFK for broadcasting this tonight, and the listeners and the web sites that are streaming this. So we're adjourned for the evening. Thank you.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't bad at all. It really wasn't bad.
Really?
I'm really quite pleased. I am pleased. But we got to finish.
No, I did. I pushed back ahead. Oh, no, I'm sorry.
This is not bad at all.
Yeah.
Well, I know we're going to hit something. I mean, I know it's not going to be this smooth. I think it's...